I know they were cheering for Rune, but that's an excuse to also boo. Listen, I've been on the tour for more than 20 years, so trust me, I know all the tricks. I know how it works. It's fine, it's okay. I focus on the respectful people that have respect, that pay the ticket to come and watch tonight. And love tennis and appreciate the players and the effort that the players put in here. I played in much more hostile environment, trust me. You guys can't touch me.
That's Novak Djokovic. He was upset with the fans who felt like they were booing while they were saying Rune. Yeah, we'll figure the rest of that out later in the show. I'm going to play a longer cut because Novak had some other things to say as well. That was just his stance on what happened at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic getting a straight set win over Holger Rune and moving on to the quarterfinals there at Wimbledon. Again, we'll have more on that coming up here on the Sports Ticket, and also a look at the rest of Wimbledon as the quarterfinals are underway here this morning at the All England Club. Also, UConn basketball coach Dan Hurley gets an extension, and the Royals will be back on the field here tonight, and they have a home run derby contestant. So it's all coming up here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Summer's always weird. It's like, you know, where do you start? What do you do? There's not a lot going on here now that, you know, your normal professional sports, the big four, there's only one going on, right? There is some soccer going on at the moment still, but... you know, your focus is normally on this show would be NFL and then Major League Baseball, which is happening, and then NBA and NHL as well. So NBA and NHL are done. There's Summer League going on in the NBA. Maybe we'll get an update on how that's all going if we get a chance. Nothing really happening in the NBA offseason right now either. There wasn't anything big that happened yesterday, so it's a bit slow in that realm as well. So, you know, this is the time of year where just not a lot going on as far as actual competition going, other than baseball. And well, the WNBA is being played right now, and I talked a little bit about that yesterday. It is wild to see that we're talking about the WNBA, and it's all over the place, man. It's not just on the Sports Ticket here. It's not just in certain spots like maybe it has been in the past where there's teams that people are following, but it's not really a thing that's all over the place, and that's definitely not the case this year. The WNBA is pretty hot this summer as far as the coverage and the amount of people that are talking about it. And yes, that's the Caitlin Clark effect. And maybe it's starting to become a bit more than that. But it started with Caitlin Clark, and now people are starting to realize, hey, there's other WNBA players that are and teams that are really, really good that are actually decent to watch, right? Like fun to watch. I've always enjoyed watching the Las Vegas Aces play basketball, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of talk about it because there wasn't a lot of talk about the WNBA. But, yeah, it's interesting to see how this summer's gone in that aspect as well, as far as the WNBA is concerned. But still not as big of a deal as the other four big four sports that we'd be talking about. But, hey, they've made some hay here and doing some good things, doing some big things here this summer with the WNBA. So, again, I don't know that we have anything to really talk about in the WNBA today. That just kind of came to my mind when I was talking about not really a whole lot going on right now at this time of year. But there's still an opportunity to see some live sports. The Olympics are coming up here this summer as well. So there'll be plenty of opportunities to see the activity and what's going on here in the sporting world here this summer. So again, let's go back now. Get Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive on in Beloit. They're south of Courthouse in Beloit. They're your home team for fast and friendly auto repair. You can also check them out at kieverbrothers.com, and they sponsor the Sports Ticket. We thank them for that. Looking at the Royals, as they will be back in action here tonight. They had yesterday off, and they'll get back going again here today against the Cardinals. So the Royals coming in at 49-43. The Cardinals are 48-42. Both teams 6 games above 500. I'd say both teams needing wins. The Cardinals are 24-18 at home. Royals are 18-25 on the road. Again, it's been a bit of a struggle for the Royals at times in road games here this season. They're looking to maybe turn that around. A couple quick games here in St. Louis before they finish out the quote-unquote first half of the season here this weekend, as they'll have a few more games here before the All-Star break. They take on the Red Sox in Boston, as they'll have Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday off, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Boston before the All-Star break hits. It's a little past the halfway point of the season, but they just call it first half and second half on the schedule normally. And I don't know when or why that started, because it's honestly well past the halfway point of the season by the time the All-Star break hits, but is what it is, right? Royals and Cardinals here tonight. The Cardinals will start Andre Pallante. He is 4-3, the 4-flat ERA against Michael Wacha. The Royals is 5-6, the 3.74 ERA. Michael Wacha, obviously a former Cardinal, and will make his first start against his former team as a Royal. I don't know if he had any starts against the Cardinals last year, or even the years before that. It's hard to believe. You know, Michael Wacha was with the Cardinals from 2013 to 2019 and pitched in just 8 games with the Mets in 2020 and made 7 starts there in the shortened season. The Rays, 2021, 2022 with the Red Sox, and 2023 with the Padres. So it's kind of weird to look at all the places he's been. He's had a different team every year since 2020, since leaving the Cardinals after having 7 solid seasons there in St. Louis. So, again, Michael Wacha with the opportunity to go up against his former team, one-time former team here. He did not face the Cardinals in 2020. I was going to want to check and see if he's actually started against the Cardinals since he left St. Louis. This may be his first start against St. Louis. Didn't see the Cardinals in 2021. I could probably have an easier way to look this up, but doesn't look like he saw it. Yeah, he did. He had a start against the Cardinals on August 17th of 2022, and that would have been when he was playing for the Red Sox. So, again, he had one start there in 2022, and he got a win. Pitched, allowed just one run on 6 hits and 5 1/3 in that game. And let me check to see if he started against the Cardinals at all last year as a member. Yep, he had improved to 2-0 against his former team with a win on September 24th of last year as a starter for the Padres. And let's see, I think that, yeah, he's 2-0 against his former team. So this will be his third start against the Cardinals. And Michael Wacha again taking the mound here tonight. Royals and Cardinals, 6:45 first pitch at Busch Stadium there in St. Louis. Again, starting a quick 2-game set. So I'm trying to see. There wasn't a lot of baseball last night. And the Pirates over the Mets, 8-2. The Cardinals did win over the Nationals, 6-0. So they're coming in after that victory last night. The Tigers, a 1-0 win over the Guardians. The Reds beat the Rockies, 6-0. And the Twins over the White Sox, 8-6. Rangers beat the Angels, 9-4. The Braves over the Diamondbacks, 5-4 last night. That Twins-White Sox game was 11 innings. You don't see a lot of 11-inning games anymore with the new courtesy runner that they have at second base to start the extra innings. A lot of times it's over in 10, so you don't really get those long, extended extra inning games that you used to get back in the day before they decided to start giving you that courtesy runner. And a lot of times it's a lot easier when they start on second base to get somebody over to manufacture that run. You know, you bunt. In theory, you can bunt twice and advance and sacrifice and get a run and possibly get a win if your pitchers can hold the other team down as well. So, again, Twins over the White Sox, 8-6. Twins are now 52-39. The Guardians fell to 56-33. So with what happened last night, the Royals are 8.5 games behind the Guardians still. But the Twins have moved within 5 of Cleveland at 52-39. Again, Guardians 56-33. The Royals are 49-43. Tigers are 43-48. And the White Sox are the worst team in baseball, in last place in the AL Central at 26-67. They're 32 games behind the Guardians in the AL Central. It is wild when you look at that and see how bad the White Sox are here this year. They're -166 in run differential. Rockies are -155, but they won 2 out of 3 over the Royals over the weekend. And then the Marlins are -134, and they got some wins over the Royals as well. Earlier, actually, say wins. I think they might have just got one win. Nope, they didn't. Yeah, they just got the one win. The Royals took 2 of 3 in that series in Kansas City earlier this month. So, or it might have been at the end of June, actually. Anyway, those teams have beat the Royals, some of the worst teams in baseball. But for the most part, Kansas City doing what they should be doing at this point of the season, 49-43. They're 6 games above .500. And looking at the wild card now, they are still a game and a half behind the Red Sox. So that series with the Red Sox coming up here after this two-game set, the Red Sox games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, will maybe factor in to the end-of-season standings. Who knows how that'll all play out. But, again, the Royals and Cardinals tonight at 6:45, first pitch at Busch Stadium for the first of a quick two-game set in the Lou for Kansas City. Not in the British Lou. Well, I don't know. Some Kansas City fans might say it is, but as it is, it is the Royals in St. Louis here tonight. Hey, another Royals note, Bobby Witt Jr. I might have said this yesterday that he wasn't going to compete in the home run derby, but I spoke out of turn, I think. Bobby Witt Jr. has joined the field of competitors for the home run derby coming up on Monday, July 15th in Arlington, as Bobby Witt Jr. becomes the fifth Royal that when he does participate, he'll be the fifth one. No Royal has ever won the home run derby, but they have the last one that did it had some major success, but was overshadowed by his opponent in the first round in 2021, and that was Salvador Perez. So Bobby Witt Jr., the first since 2021 to be in the home run derby, and he joins a list of four other guys. Salvador Perez in 2021, as we mentioned, he was the team captain for the Royals. He entered the 2021 home run derby with 21 homers. He smashed 28 more at Coors Field there in the 2021 All-Star festivities. Normal years, 28 is probably enough to move on, especially to the second round, but not in this one. Mets slugger Pete Alonso bested Perez in the opening round. He belted 35 homers, went on to win the event for the second straight year there in 2021. And if you remember, Salvi was up at the plate, and Pete Alonso had hit 35, and then they're talking to Alonso and kind of ignoring what Salvador Perez was doing, having a great swing at it at the home run derby himself, and hit 28 homers, and you barely even knew he was there because ESPN only cared about the New York guy that was at the home run derby and coming back to try to, you know, win it for the second straight year. I remember it well. It's, you know, there's a lot of times where Kansas City fans and maybe your own fans of your team feel like they're slighted and maybe taken overboard. The whole hate for Joe Buck because Madison Bumgarner was nails in the World Series in 2014. That's one where Kansas City Royals fans are definitely have always been overreacting. To this day, people still talk about that. And I'm like, y'all understand that Madison Bumgarner had one of the best World Series performances in the history of baseball. And any broadcaster that's doing his job would have been pumping that up and talking about that guy ad nauseum. You might get tired of it, but you know what? If the Royals would have performed against him, Joe Buck probably would have shut up. Again, there's times where it's like you're taking a little overboard. The aftermath of Salvador Perez, the Pete Alonso thing, though, in 2021 in the home run derby, it was ridiculous. Like, they were just talking to Pete Alonso like Salvador Perez was not even part of this thing. This is one of the best catchers. He may be the best catcher the last 10 to 15 years in Major League Baseball. Helped this team to a World Series berth in 2014, to a World. He was the MVP of the World Series in 2015. And was getting no love in the home run derby. Like, if you were not watching that with your eyes, you'd have had no idea it was Salvador Perez at the plate blasting 28 homers. Again, he ended up losing that first round matchup to Alonso 35-28, but it was crazy, man. It was wild. And so that leads me, I'll go back to the former Royals that have participated in the home run derby, but it does lead me now to this year's home run derby where, you guessed it, Pete Alonso will be competing in the home run derby. Let's just hope that he's not right before Bobby Witt Jr. And then Bobby Witt Jr. comes to the plate, and all they're doing is talking to Pete Alonso about the round he just had, because that would be even more of a disservice to Major League Baseball, obviously to the Royals fans, and to Kansas City in general as well. But this guy is coming up, Bobby Witt Jr. He is a superstar in the making right now, and an all-star for the first time in his career, going back home to Arlington for the all-star game. He's also going to take part in the Home Run Derby back home in Arlington. His dad played with the Rangers during his career, and Bobby grew up around that Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington area. And so, obviously, that's going to be exciting for him. But, again, I pray that Bobby Witt Jr. is not hitting right after Pete Alonso, and Pete Alonso goes for, like, 20 homers, and then Bobby Witt Jr. comes back and hits, like, 21 to win, if that would be the first-round matchup. Now, I don't know if that'll be the case. We'll find out. And we'll go through the new format coming up. But there are five hitters that are committed so far to the Home Run Derby. And Gunnar Henderson, the shortstop from the Orioles, is one of those. The 23-year-old is on pace to hit. He'd become the second 50-homer shortstop in baseball history, as Gunnar Henderson is hitting .293 with 27 homers and 61 RBI this year. Alec Boehm of the Phillies is also part of the group that is committed to the Home Run Derby. Boehm, the third baseman for Philadelphia, has hit 11 homers with 70 RBI, hitting .296 this year. Pete Alonso, as we mentioned, he won back-to-back 2019 and 2021. Again, there was no All-Star game in 2020 in the shortened season. Pete Alonso this year has 18 homers and 48 RBI. We mentioned Bobby Witt Jr. He's got 15 homers this year for the Royals and hitting very well at .324 with 61 RBI as well. And then the last one that is committed yesterday for certain is Marcelo Ozuna, the DH for the Braves. And Ozuna is hitting .292 with 23 homers and 73 RBI this year. So those are the ones that are locked in, loaded, ready to go for the Home Run Derby here this year. And, so the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr. competing. Bobby Witt Jr. again, the fifth Royal to compete in the Home Run Derby. We know for sure not participating are Aaron Judge, Jordan Alvarez, and Juan Soto. Some that are still interested, they say, are Shohei Ohtani and Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers. Ohtani, I doubt Ohtani will be part of this thing, but he is listed as interested in competing in the Home Run Derby. We'll go over the format here in a bit, but again, Bobby Witt Jr., the fifth Royal that is slated to participate in the Home Run Derby. Mike Moustakas became the first Royals player to participate in the Home Run Derby since 1991 when he competed in 2017. Moustakas didn't make it out of the first round despite hitting 10 homers. He fell to Minnesota Twins slugger Miguel Sano, and he ended up out there. Danny Tartabull in 1991, he hit two home runs in the actual, yeah, apparently it was American versus National League. He had two homers, and American League won 20-7. And then Bo Jackson in 1989 was the other one, as he became the first Royals player to take part in the Home Run Derby in 1989 there in Southern California. He belted 21 homers to that point in the season, would finish the year with 32, but he managed to park just one over the fences in Anaheim, and it was not a great day for the Royals' Bo Jackson there in 1989. And, as we all know, the one that was not selected to participate in the Home Run Derby was Billy Butler in 2012 when the Home Run Derby was in Kansas City. American League captain and New York Yankee second baseman Robinson Cano had indicated he would include a Royals player on an AL Derby roster if KC position player was selected for the All-Star game. The first part happened when Billy Butler got the nod, but Cano did not include Butler in the AL lineup for the Home Run Derby. He went with the Angels' Mark Trumbo, Toronto's Jose Bautista, and the Tigers' first baseman Prince Fielder instead. And, the Boo Cano movement, man, the boos were loud for Robinson Cano. People were like, they're overreacting. This is so mean. Oh, my goodness. I can still remember it to this day. It's 12 years ago, and everybody's just freaking out saying the Royals fans are terrible and classless. You're getting Yankees fans that were talking about how classless the Royals were and their fans, and it's like, Yankees fans preaching on class is something special, man. That was rich. Now, I'm not talking about the Yankees fans around here before you go after me. But maybe I am. No. It was always interesting because the Robinson Cano situation was wild because, again, he had promised that, yeah, I'll put a Royal on if they're voted to the All-Star game, and then no Royals were on the roster. Again, Bobby Witt Jr., the fifth to participate in the All-Star game for the Royals, and this in the Home Run Derby is part of the All-Star game. Home Run Derby will be on Monday, July 15th, next Monday at 7 o'clock at Globe Life Field in Arlington on ESPN. It's a new format this year. It's gone through many formats in the past. And the first round, all eight players get 3 minutes or 40 pitches, whichever comes first, plus one timeout. The four leading home run hitters advance. Ties are broken using the longest home run distance. After the initial 3 minutes or 40 pitches, each player gets three bonus outs, where they continue hitting until three outs are recorded. Hitters can earn a fourth bonus out with a 425-foot homer in bonus time. This gives anyone who's trailing a chance to catch up because they can continue hitting homers in bonus time until they run out of outs. The four remaining players are seeded 1 through 4 using the first round home run totals in the semis, and it's 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3 in head-to-head matchups. It's, again, 3 minutes or 40 pitches with one timeout. The same bonus time rules apply. And then in the finals, the final two players now have 2 minutes or 27 pitches with one timeout and the same bonus time rules. The player with the most homers will win. In recent years, the eight players were seeded 1 through 8 using regular season home run totals, then head-to-head matchup single elimination tournament to decide the home run derby. There was a time limit, 3 minutes in the first and second, 2 in the finals, but no pitch limit. Last year, no players saw fewer than 43 pitches in a round, so the new 40-pitch limit will speed things up and put a premium on efficiency here for the home run derby this year. Again, committed, Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles, Alec Bohm of the Phillies, Pete Alonso of the Mets, Marcelo Ozuna of the Braves, and Bobby Witt Jr. from the Kansas City Royals. Those are the commitments to this year's Home Run Derby. We're on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Cooper Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When we come back, we will tell you about a new contract for Dan Hurley as the head coach of the UConn men's basketball team and an update on Wimbledon. On the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94, brought to you by Cooper Brothers Automotive in Beloit.
Extended warranties on vehicles have become a very popular thing. You may have bought one, but what do you do to take advantage of the benefits when you need them? Cooper Brothers Automotive in Beloit works with most all warranty contracts, and we can be your advocate when you need repairs. Just bring us your car, your concerns, and a copy of the warranty contract, and we take care of the rest. Let our fast, friendly service help you get the most out of your extended warranty contract. Find Cooper Brothers Automotive just south the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KeeverBrothers.com.
All right, back with you here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. As we shift to college basketball, not a lot of college basketball happens at this time of year, but we did have some news come out yesterday where UConn men's basketball coach Dan Hurley has gotten a contract extension or a new contract. We'll go over some of the details of it. Six-year, $50 million deal. As Dan Hurley has led the Huskies to back-to-back national championships and turned down the Los Angeles Lakers offer to be their head coach earlier this summer. Last month, he did sign a new contract to stay in Storrs, Connecticut through the 2029-30 season. Hurley's new deal is worth $50 million over 6 years before performance-based incentives. Says it's an honor to coach basketball at UConn and to represent this world-class institution in the great state of Connecticut. We are extremely proud of the championship program that we have rebuilt for our supporters and fans. We will continue to obsessively pursue championships and historic success while continuing to develop great young men. Bleed Blue, again, it was a six-year, $50 million contract. Again, he rejected a six-year, $70 million offer to become the Lakers head coach and emerged as the franchise's top target in early June. And he rejected that, and the Lakers later hired, as you know, J.J. Redick as their coach. Under the new contract with UConn, Hurley will receive a base salary of $400,000 per year and additional compensation that rises every year for speaking, consulting, and media obligations. The additional compensation begins at $6.375 million for the 24-25 season. He'll also get a retention bonus of $1 million per year. As UConn President Radenka Marich said in the statement, Dan Hurley is the best men's basketball coach in the nation. We're delighted that he will continue to call UConn home. In addition to the exceptional program he has built over the period of years and the extraordinary back-to-back NCAA championships he and his teams won, Coach Hurley serves as a critical mentor to our student-athletes, pushing them to achieve both on the court and in the classroom, helping to lay the groundwork for their success and long life after they have left UConn. We're grateful for both his championship culture and for his leadership at our university and in our state. In six seasons with UConn, Dan Hurley is 141-58. He's guided the program again to the two national championships in back-to-back years, 2023 and 24, going 68-11 over the past two seasons with the Huskies. So there you go. Dan Hurley staying with UConn as their head coach. Six-year, $50 million deal. Base salary is not all that high, but a lot of incentives and a lot of things that he can do to get the money that he will be paid. I'm sure there's legal things that they're doing to make sure all the money comes from the right places and is put in the right definitions, I guess, for the contract. But in the end, it's about 6 years, $50 million for Dan Hurley to stay at UConn, where he's won back-to-back championships in NCAA Division I men's hoops. All right, this also came out. The 16 former men's college basketball players, including Kansas stars Mario Chalmers and Sharon Collins, and UConn guard Ryan Boatwright, Arizona guard Jason Terry have sued the NCAA and multiple conferences for the unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness in March Madness highlights. This is where we're getting to. Miss Sue, like, I don't know, man. It's like, these are just, like, things that were just part of the package, right? Like, If we have March Madness, we're going to play replays and show images of some of the greatest moments in March Madness. But now we're going to sue for name, image, likeness because that's where we're at in today's world. Got to get paid to have our picture, our name, our likeness, whatever it is, displayed everywhere. Hey, if these kids these days are getting NIL, hey, we got to retroactively sue the NCAA and get our money too. The can of worms that was opened up with NIL and actually being able to pay your players is wild, man. It's gone to a place where I never expected it. You know, Ed O'Bannon kind of sued EA Sports, and that's why college football and college basketball games went away for a while. NCAA Football 25 is back. But it's interesting to see some of these things that are coming about. I don't know how you sue for likeness in March Madness highlights, man. That story came out before. It's about a week old, but I've not talked about it here on the Sports Ticket, so did want to pass that along, that is actually a thing that's happening right now. There's legal suits because highlights are playing from when Mario Chalmers made the game-tying shot for KU that sent the 2008 championship game into overtime against Memphis. This is where we're at. Wild to me. What's also wild is Novak Djokovic feeling like he was slighted yesterday during the Wimbledon fourth round match that he had against Holger Rune. Djokovic won the match. Like, he's won in straight sets. He won the first 12 points of the match. Had no problems defeating Rune, the number 15 seed, Djokovic, the 2 seed. 6-3, 6-4, 6-2. It was over in just 2 hours Monday to reach the Wimbledon quarterfinals. And then in the post-game interview on the court, he made sure that he let people know that he was not happy about the way they were, in his eyes, booing him. Holger Rune's fans like to say, Rune, like... there's somebody at K-State that they used to do that for, and it's escaping my mind right now. Anybody that has like that long U or like a double O, you're gonna stretch it out just because it's fun. It sounds like a boo, but that's not exactly, and it's not actually what it is. But Novak Djokovic disagreed. He felt like that some of them were boos, and we played that little cut at the beginning, but it's about a minute and a half of Novak Djokovic just speaking his piece. This is one thing I do like about Novak Djokovic is he is not afraid to say what he wants to say. Whether it be on the court during the match or off the court after the or on the court after the match is over. Novak Djokovic apologizes for nothing. Sometimes it gets annoying. Sometimes I like it. Most of the time I like it. Let's not get that twisted. I don't mind a guy that wants to speak his mind. Now, I don't like Nick Kyrgios with his antics added to speaking his mind when he was playing and healthy. And actually, Djokovic and Kyrgios were warming up together the other day. Maybe that rubbed off on Djokovic here last night after his win over Holger Rune.
Well, to all the fans that have respect and that stayed here tonight, thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. And to all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night. Good night, good night. Very good night. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they were just... commenting on Rune and that they weren't disrespecting you.
They were. I don't accept it. No. I know they were cheering for Rune, but that's an excuse to also boo. I've been on the tour for more than 20 years, so trust me, I know all the tricks. I know how it works. It's fine. It's okay. I focus on the respectful people that have respect, that pay the ticket to come and watch tonight. And love tennis and appreciate the players and the effort that the players put in here. I played in much more hostile environment, trust me. You guys can't touch me.
Novak Djokovic last night, yesterday afternoon after his win, a different time zone there, but it was night in London at the All England Club. Listen, you can... say it's disrespect that they were booing and mixing those in there. After the match at the news conference, Djokovic was asked whether he thinks the All England Club should do something to curb rowdy fan behavior. He said, look, I don't know what Wimbledon can really do about it. I mean, in those particular moments when it happens, the crowd paid their tickets. They have the right to be there and cheer the way they want to cheer. That's absolutely something they choose. How the behavior, how they choose to support the players is really up to them. Yes, you could argue maybe a chair umpire or whoever can step in certain moments and calm them down, but there's not much you can do. You're not going to take out the whole section of the crowd or stadium because they're misbehaving or showing disrespect. Rune, who got off to a terrible start again, as we mentioned, dropping the first 12 points, he didn't make much of it. He said, if you don't know what was happening, probably it sounded like boo. But if we all know what happened, it was my name. And Rune said he was just better than me today, whether the crowd was this or that. I think it was great support for both players, to be honest. So Holger Rune doesn't agree with Novak Djokovic that there was some booze mixed in there, but I don't know. Maybe that's like Michael Jordan, right? Like, you got to figure out something that's that will pump you up, and even if you have to make something up, maybe that's the case too. Like, hey, they're saying Rune, but in my mind, they're booing me. And let's go smoke this guy just for them. And that's what he did. 6-3, 6-4, 6-2. Straight set win for Novak Djokovic yesterday at Wimbledon. It'll be interesting to see how this goes moving forward for Novak with the All England Club crowd. And if, in fact, he gets actual boos for sure. And when he's not playing somebody that has a long U or a double O name in the middle of that, that sounds like boo. And we'll see if he gets booed against Sinner or whoever he might be playing next. I'll tell you who he's playing next. Let's see if he gets booed when he's playing against, that's not in there yet. The quarterfinals will be, what is today's Tuesday? So tomorrow he will play, Novak Djokovic will, against Alex de Minaur. So that's not a boo syllable in Alex's name, the number 9 seed. So if he hears those long oohs tomorrow, it probably is a boo. And I'm going to guess he's probably going to get a few of them because there's probably some people that were there last night that didn't agree with him. and don't like the fact that he called them out and said they were booing instead of saying Rune. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes down for Novak Djokovic the rest of the way here. Other matches yesterday in the men's singles fourth round, Taylor Fritz lost the first two sets, but came back for a five-set win over Alexander Zverev, the American 13 seed. Fritz on to the quarterfinals, and Zverev, the fourth seed, knocked out Alex de Minaur, as we mentioned, winning in four sets, and 25th seed Lorenzo Musetti taking a four-set win as well. And then on the women's side there yesterday, let me go back down. I don't like how they have all this together. It's like mixed doubles, women's doubles, let's go women's singles. Danielle Collins, the American, the 11th seed, was defeated by Barbara Krejcikova, the 31st seed, in two sets. Linda Rybakina won in straights. Yelena Ostapenko, the 13th seed, winning in straight sets. Elena Svitolina, the 21st seed, a straight set win. Rybakina, by the way, the 4th seed there in the Wimbledon women's side of things. Women's matches today. Donna Vekic moving on to the semifinals with a three-set win over Lulu Sun, both unseeded. 19th-seeded American Emma Navarro takes on number 7-seed Jasmine Paolini at 10:30 this morning. And on the men's side, Tommy Paul, the 12th-seeded American, is taking on 3rd-seed Carlos Alcaraz here today, just getting underway. And underway in the third set, Yannick Sinner took the first in a tiebreak, lost the second to Daniil Medvedev. And he's down 2-1. Sinner is the number 1 seed, Medvedev the 5 seed. It's a 2-1 lead for Medvedev. And apparently Sinner's dealing with an injury right now as well. So we'll see if he retires or if he can get back out on the court for that one. So those are the quarterfinals that are taking place today at Wimbledon. They're at the All England Club. So more tennis talk than normal as well here today. I'll make sure I didn't miss anything here before we move on here today. Doesn't look like it. No real headlines that I'm seeing coming through. So that'll pretty much wrap it up on the Sports Ticket today. Again, the Royals back in action tonight, and we'll have a recap of that tomorrow on the Sports Ticket and whatever else might happen within the next 24 hours or so. 23 hours, I guess, probably. We'll update you on the Sports Ticket tomorrow. Talk to you on Waterside Wake Up as well. Have a great day, everybody.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.